surrender to Jehovah. For he has done so very much for me. What shall I render to Jehovah? For he has done so very much for me.
Yeah. bring on to the top. Let's sing it again. In every distress.
In every distress. I call upon you, God.
Oh, I know that you hear me.
I know that you hear me. My cry comes before you.
I seek your face.
I seek your face. God, you are my strength and my rock.
Yes, yes.
I seek your face. Lord, you are mighty.
You speak of my life.
You speak of my all of my.
In us, with us, through us, and by us, your awesome works of grace, quickly, we embrace your truth. Take us at your speed. God of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. It is on you that we rely. For we cannot make these things that you reveal to us in your word work outside of you. You are the one who brings it to pass. And we rely on your ability even now, more than ever. In Jesus' mighty name, we decree it so. Amen. Praise the Lord. I bless you all in the name that is above every other name, the name of our sovereign Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you can help me with my mic and clean it up a little bit, I really appreciate it. We've been talking about the blessing. The blessing. And you may be wondering why we're talking about the blessing. Is the blessing a house, a car, a nice gift? Some miracle? Is that what we're talking about? Are we talking about the blessing when we pray over our food? You know, when we gather as we will in a few days for Thanksgiving, somebody's going to be asked to bless the food. Is that what we're talking about? Obviously, by now you know that that's not what we're talking about, that we're talking much more than stuff. That we're talking about a commitment from God, a promise that God has put in place. By now, you must be picking up on the fact that when we're talking about this blessing, we're talking about a person. But I do hope by now that we're pulling together this truth. That when we talk about the blessing, we're talking about Abraham. We're talking about Christ Jesus our Lord. And that we're talking about me and you. That I am the blessing. Jesus, our Lord, is the blessing. Abraham is the blessing. Why? Because God spoke a covenant word and said, "This is what I am going to do with your life. And this is what I'm going to do in your seed." And brings us and tells us that that seed is Christ. And that if we are in Christ, we are Abraham's seed that he made the promise to. That places everything in a place that is beyond natural consumption. So what do you mean? Because the blessing that God pronounced is beyond natural comprehension. It has to be received by faith. It was given as a faith declaration. So we see in Genesis 12, God saying to a man called Abraham, Abraham, I want you to leave your father, leave your mother, leave your brothers, leave your sisters, leave everybody. And I want you to come to a place that I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you something. And when God says, I want to show you something, it's something that you don't know. You've not experienced before. You have nothing to tie it to. And that's the word that God is saying to us right this very moment. I want to show you things that you know nothing about. I'm going to show you something you have no clue about. You don't have anything in your past that is going to define it. Behold, I do a new thing. Would you believe it? I'm going to so bless you. I'm going to do things that will shock you because you, I'm going to manifest my grace in your life. Praise the Lord. Hear that word of the Lord in Isaiah 43. In Isaiah 43, God very explicitly states in verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. We're about to step into a new year. Hallelujah. And God is saying, I'm going to do a new thing. Now, it shall spring forth. In other words, it's a thing that has been hidden from your view. I hear the Lord saying to us, there are things that you've been believing for, just like Abraham, from Abram to Abraham, was believing for 20-something years. It didn't look like it was going to happen. It didn't look like it was going to happen. All it was God saying stuff and kept on saying stuff. But in the natural, things were getting worse and worse. Sarah's womb was as dead could be. He was getting older and older. Oh, I love this. God promised, watch this, that man was going to live for 70 years and you do well, you get to 80. Then he goes and he says, 120. When you are 100 years old, how are you going to enjoy your baby? So what does God do? He says, I'm going to add some more years so you can enjoy the blessing I bring into your life. And I say this to us today. There is not a blessing, not a thing God is going to do in your life that you're not going to enjoy. We are not going to be people who start out through, and then, you know, you die. I've seen people, you know, they've worked so hard. They're looking forward to a retirement. And now it's time to get retired. And even before they get retired, they're already sick and dying. All the money they saved going to medications, one doctor after the other. They didn't enjoy one moment. They didn't enjoy their children. They didn't enjoy their grandchildren. They didn't enjoy life. But that's all they worked for. But God says, listen, when I bless you, when I give you my word, you're going to enjoy it to the full. Jesus, our Lord, said, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Some say, I'm going to enjoy every single moment of my life. Hallelujah. Arthritis is not going to rob me of enjoying my life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen, I'm going to say something now, and it might sound crazy, but I want to say to you, we shall not entertain wheelchairs, because you're going to walk with your two feet. Hallelujah. Strong and healthy. Praise God. If you ever hold a stick, it will be a stick to crush the head of the enemy. Where's that devil? Let me see. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're going to be strong. Your youth renewed. Because you must enjoy the blessing that God releases on your life, because you are the manifestation of that blessing in Christ Jesus. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? That means your mind is going to be very clear, sharp. Glory be to God. You know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. This is God declaring his blessing and saying to us, I got your back. I got you. You're going to enjoy life. And you and I need to embrace that truth inside of us and just know that we know that we know. I'm going to enjoy every day of my life. So I'm going to bless you. And it's going to be like the stars in the heavens. And as the sand on the seashore, the stars. When you go out tonight, you just look up. If you don't see it because of the city lights, drive a little bit out of the city and look up. You will see the stars. So that's how. And he's talking to a guy whose wife is barren. Mm-hmm. And guess what? When the promise of God got activated in him, in Abraham. Even when Sarah died and he remarried and had a wife called Keturah, he had more children. Lots of children. What was the problem in the first place? The enemy trying to do everything to resist the word of God. When God promises you something, there's always an enemy that will come and try to resist it. But what you and I must do is do what Abraham did. The word of God says he hoped against hope. Praise God. He hoped against hope. Someone say hope against hope. In Romans 4 and verse 18, if you may help me with my monitors here. Romans 4 and verse 18. He says, talking about Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. In other words, even though God said it, watch this, even though God said it, if he did not come into agreement with what God said and say, I know what God said and I know what the circumstance is saying, but I choose to believe in the hope of my salvation. I will believe what God said more than my circumstance. He will not become the father of many nations. So many of us lose what God said because we believe more in the circumstance than what God said. There's something that I'm believing God for me personally, and for this church, for this year. And I tell you what, it seems like I'm farther away from what I am believing for than I've ever been all of my life. As a minister that God has called over this church, what I'm believing God for, it looks like I am miles further back from it. But guess what I do? I say, it doesn't matter. God, what I believe you for is what's going to happen. What I heard from you is what's going to happen. You said, if I ask, I will receive. If I seek, I will find. If I knock, the door is going to be opened unto me, and that you will do exceedingly far beyond that which I dare ask or think. So, Lord, I believe what I believe about you, that you are well able to do what I've asked you to do, and that you'll do it exceedingly far beyond what I asked, that what I have even asked is too small. It's a stretch, but it's still too small for you. Why? Because God's word says that I am an heir, that this whole world belongs to me. Do you think there are people in our world today that think they are too rich and they have too much money? That they believed that they will ever be richer than the country that they live in, that they will be wealthier than their own country? Well, once upon a time, people didn't think that way. But somebody broke that mold and said, you know what? I think I can. And they were creeping closer and closer, and one day they overtook their country. And they didn't have two heads. And they are not more educated than you. They may not be even smarter than you, but they believed. This principle works for whoever will work it. It will work for me. It will work for you. I don't know if you're ready for this. It will work for the unbeliever who believes that they have the right to be successful in life. It will work if we choose to believe it. He hoped against hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. It was spoken. He heard the voice of God. Whether it's audible or in his spirit, he heard it. And when you hear the voice of God, faith is released inside of you. By the time we come to the end of this teaching, we'll find out the antidotes, the things that contradict and make the promise of God to be ineffective in our lives. And the answer is always the same thing. He says, they believed according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. God said something to me, that my seed is going to be like this, so shall my seed be. Many years ago, must be around 83, 84, I heard it loud and clear. Your children are going to be greater than you in the ministry. I knew right then when God said those words, oh yes, we're going to have a battle on our hands. The enemy is going to do everything he can to make sure that they do not become what God said. What do? I stay steadfast. I set my eyes as a flint and watch to see the manifestation of the promise of God. That no matter what the devil does, my children, natural and spiritual, will rise up to become great and greater. Okay? That's what I'm going to believe you for. That's what I'm going to trust you for. So shall thy seed be. Because I'm going to bless you with them. I'm going to give you the capacity to be the blessing that will motivate, that will establish them, that will promote them, that will increase them, that will establish and cause them to be propelled into their greater destiny. So when I see a son or a daughter coming up, I begin to bless them. God, do with them something amazing. Do something with them that will shake the world. Give them that capacity to come into their fullness. That's what Abraham did. He just passed the blessing. The next verse says this. And being not weak in faith, and being not, present tense continuous, not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. He did not consider it. In other words, he did not consider his incapabilities. I don't place any trust on that. My faith is in God. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Why? He hoped against hope. He staggered not. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He did not unbelieve what he believed, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. No matter what it was that he was going through, he was, Father, I give you praise. I glorify you. I thank you that you are doing something exciting, something wonderful. I thank you for your favor on my life. I thank you for this breakthrough. I thank you, Lord, oh God, that I'm sowing in this dead land and there are results coming forth. I thank you. He was glorifying God. Why? He was not the one who made the promise. God made the promise, and he believed God, and he hoped against hope. Let me, for a moment, just look at that. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, there are three things that abide: faith, hope, and love. And then it says, but the greatest of these three is love. Now abides these three things: faith, hope, love. Interestingly enough, love is what makes faith work. Now, what is hope? Faith is when God gave you the word, love makes it work. But between when it was told you and the manifestation, the physical manifestation of what you heard God say he was going to do, this distance between faith and manifestation is what we call hope. You get that? Okay? That distance. This is the hope. And hope is established by your surrender under the canopy of God's goodness. You've been aware of the goodness of God. God is a good God, and he's a faithful God, and he will cause all things to work together for my good. Something bad is happening right now, but God is going to cause it to work together for my good, because what God said will be made manifest. Amen? Are you with me there so far? Okay. Now, let's look a little bit deeper at that word hope. The word hope. Elpis is the word. The word for faith is pistis. The word for hope is elpis. And in Romans chapter 5, Romans 5 and verse 2, it says to us, actually, let me look at verse 1 and then verse 2. This is, therefore being justified by faith. Faith justifies you. Faith puts you in the proper line. We have peace. The irene, the shalim, the shalom of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom, that is Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? That's what we fell short of, all that God is. But when we stand by grace, that's important, because it is grace that causes you to be able to withstand all the pressures that want you to unbelieve between when faith was spoken and the manifestation of what it is that you're looking for. Grace, you stand in the ability of God. It has nothing to do with you. So when we're talking about patience, we're not talking about your capacity to be patient. We're talking about God's capacity to keep you as the good shepherd, to calm you down, help you to stay calm. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but it's a place in God where everything is falling apart, but you're just calm. We call it being at peace. Hallelujah. And people are freaking out and, you know, all wound up and, oh, how are you doing? And you're wondering, what are you talking about? I'm okay. How can you be okay? Everything's like, I'm okay. How? What do you mean you're okay? I have peace. God is in control. I'm fine. It is well. They're losing their hair, worrying for you. And your hair is growing longer. You're getting fresher and they're falling apart. Well, it's because they love you. But there's some kind of love that you don't need. The kind of love that will cause you to start worrying just like them. You rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That God is going to manifest in you all that he has promised. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul tells us some things. He says to us, Ephesians 1 and verse 8. He says to us, you know what? There is this grace that abounds towards you in all wisdom and in all prudence. It is available to you. You can enjoy it. Let me look at verse 18. He says to us, he says this to us, watch this. The eyes of your what? Understanding being, present tense continuous, being enlightened, your understanding enlightened. That ye may know, that ye may know, because you are enlightened. Yeah? Because you are enlightened, that ye may know. In other words, if you don't have this enlightenment, you will not know. So you can be in a situation where you do not know what is available to you. But when you are enlightened, and part of what is happening now is an enlightenment, because the entrance of God's word brings forth enlightenment. When you hear the word of God and God is telling you this is possible, you get enlightened and say, okay, I'm going to continue in the word. I'm going to continue in what God says. You are enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. There is a hope of his calling. There is an expectation. When God calls you, there's an expected end he wants to call you to. And what the riches of the glory. There's a riches attached to the glory of his inheritance that is in the saints. What is this inheritance? Well, the word of God is very clear about it. Back to Romans chapter 4. We'll take it from verse 19. We're going to see what this inheritance is. There is an inheritance. He says, first of all, he was not weak in faith, and he did not consider his own body that was now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. And verse 20 goes on and says, he staggered not on the promise of God through unbelief. 21, watch this. And being, present tense continuous, being fully persuaded. Being fully persuaded. How do you persuade? You persuade somebody by having a discussion with them and eradicating out of their minds any reason or argument that they may have about something. How does that happen? It happens when you meditate on the Word of God. When you're meditating on the Word of God, God, by His Word, begins to excavate inside of you and pull out everything that does not belong. Anything that will be a stumbling block to you believing what He said, He'll take it out. He persuades you by doing things in your life. Watch this. While you are going through your situation, it is not the main thing that he wants to do, that he promised you, But there are going to be different things that he's doing in your journey. And how do you embrace that? By thanksgiving. I hope you're hearing. Every little thing that you see that's happening, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your thanking him is what gets you farther and deeper into the manifestation of your promise. If you are not thankful, you stay longer in your pit. You have to learn thanksgiving. And those things that you are appreciating are part of how God persuades you to know, you know what? I thought my goose was cooked there, but look at what God did. Look at what God did. Look at what God did here. Look at what God did here. Oh, what he promised me, he's going to make it happen. Because I didn't do this. This just happened. So I thank God. Wow, I'm in Winnipeg. And I had a mass crusade in Pakistan. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at what God did there. Oh, wow. Look at what God did. Look, 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 look. Oh, it's COVID. And things are shut down. And people are not coming to church. Oh, but look what God did. God told us to do something, change everything inside this church building. Look at what God did. Just sitting on a new chair. Oh, look at what God did. We've got a big screen over here. Look at what God did. Hallelujah. That's God persuading you. Are you aware of what God has been doing? Or just, that is nothing. It may be nothing for somebody else, but for you, you better celebrate with thanksgiving that nothing that is for somebody else, because it is something for you when you appreciate it. You got it? You wake up in the morning, oh, thank you, Lord, I'm alive. I'm strong. My teeth are still on my mouth. I can chew stuff with my own teeth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I'm alive. I give you praise. Glory, glory, glory. You thank God. Some people wake up like they are grouches. They want to find something to complain about. Oh, praise God, it's a good day. What is good about today? Huh? Stop telling me. You know, I'm blessed and highly favored. What makes you think that you're blessed and highly favored? Are you married? No, I'm birthing something. Hallelujah. You say you're blessed and highly favored and you're broke. Well, that does not mean I'm not blessed and highly favored, because guess what? I might be broke, but my needs have been met. Hallelujah. I don't have the $150,000 to go do that, but I did it. Are you thankful? How many people are on television every day covering this planet? Covering this country. In a few weeks, we'll be covering all of North America, Central America, South America. And I'm not going to be paying the millions of dollars that other people are paying. Don't tell me that I'm not blessed and highly favored. You go try to go get that. The contract is pursuing after me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to what? Perform. God promised it. He can perform it. I'm persuaded that he's well able to do it. Hallelujah. God will do what he said he's going to do. And nothing is going to stop it. And nothing is going to stop you. Because you are in the blessing. And God in the blessing is blessing you. Praise God. Nothing is going to resist God's plan and purpose for my life. Serve a good God. I'm persuaded. I look at the team that God has given to us, serving in different capacities. People behind the camera, people in the audio video room, and I say, thank you, Lord. Somebody said to me the other day, said, well, you know, are we together? Why do I have this hum? Someone was saying to me the other day, some stuff, you can do it on your iPad. I said, yeah, it's possible to do it with your iPad. But I thank God that I have a team that will sacrifice and come and stick the camera and say, we're going to do something better than an iPad production. Thankful. Thank God for everybody in your life. Because they are the manifestation of the blessing of God being manifested in you and to you every day. Be thankful. Be thankful. Because it's the people that are thankful when God has done something in their lives that will continue to experience more things day in, day out. You're not thankful. You're on your own. Word of God continues. I love this. 22. And therefore, that persuasion of faith, of belief, was imputed to him for righteousness. It was imputed. God accounted that belief as righteousness, right standing. 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. Someone said, but for us also. Again, but for us also. To whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that did what? Raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. The Bible says, if that same Spirit, in Romans 8, if that same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, it shall quicken your mortal bodies. God's capacity to quicken you. In other words, as I shared this morning, God is, charging you up. He's got his jumper cables. When your battery is all drained, attached. Turn those keys. Hallelujah. But it doesn't just give you his power. He works in you like the alternator. The alternator is the continued walking of the Word of God. You meditating on the Word of God and getting persuaded again. Because it is in your persuasion that the power of God continues to flow. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth that you know will be the truth that makes you free. Because the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. And God is a spirit. And where the Spirit of God is, there is what? Liberty. So you continue in the Word of God. If you can't believe, just say, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. There's no pretending. You know, sometimes God will say stuff to you, and you start scratching your head and say, how is that going to happen? And then you remind yourself, it's not for me to concern myself about how this is going to happen. God is going to make it happen. I did not go anywhere to convince anybody to help me put a crusade up. I did not go anywhere to ask anybody to give me access on television that will cover Central and South America and have it translated. Are you listening to me? Have my words translated. The person that I've not met, who did that? He did. He said, Pastor, what are you saying to me? I'm saying, don't lock yourself in. And say, well, I don't know anybody. No, you know the God who knows everybody. What's your problem? What's your problem? You know the one who knows everybody, who made everybody, who has access to everybody, and you're going to worry about, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? I had a man of God give a testimony just a few days ago. He was sharing this testimony about a woman that had her rent due. She needed $1,000, and she didn't have the $1,000. So she went to the Lord and said, God, you know this problem. I know you've solved it already. I just haven't seen the money in my hand, and I can't just say anything to the landlord when he comes. So God, I trust you. And she kept on talking to the Lord, and on the day that it was due, here comes one of the tenants that was three levels up, banging on her door. And she opens the door and said, may I help you? He said, are you here, take this envelope. And he says, this guy was an unbeliever, didn't worship God, gave her this envelope. There's $1,000 that she needed in the envelope. And then says, and will you please tell your God to stop bugging me? Will you please tell your God to stop bugging me? Because while she was talking, God was speaking to this unbeliever and said, hey, take that $1,000, go downstairs and give it to that woman. There's somebody that's going to get bugged today. Hallelujah. They will not sleep. They will not rest until they come looking for me. They will find me. They will track me down wherever I am and say, you're that pastor on television, right? Yes. Yeah, please. Please beg your God for me. Can you please tell him, here's $1,000,000. Please tell him to stop bugging me. Can you please? Because he's been bugging me since last week to bring this $1,000,000 to you. Here it is. Can you please? I'll say, come here, my son. Come here, my son. Hallelujah. I don't know how God is going to meet my needs. And you don't know how God is going to meet your needs. He just says that you're an heir. Praise the Lord. Let's go a little bit deeper. Oh, wow, where did the time go when you're having fun with the Word of God? Romans 8, let's look at 23. Did we do 22? I think we did. For we know, not Romans 8, sorry, Romans 4. But that's a good verse. Because ultimately, that is God's goal, that we become the manifestation of his sons in the earth. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, imputed, assigned, accounted to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, 25, who was delivered for our offenses. He was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. 26. Verse 26. Hallelujah. Is that the last verse? Oh, 25. Okay. All right. He was raised also for our justification. We are birthed by the word of God. And let me just wrap up this on the hope that we have in God. Colossians 1, and this is where we're going to hang our coat today, and we'll continue. Colossians 1 and verse, we'll take it from verse 26. Colossians 1, 26 and 27. It talks about the mystery. He says, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints. This is crucial, especially since God has declared to us that this month is the month of breakthroughs, manifestations, and fruitfulness. Amen? He says, there's a mystery which had been hid from ages, from generations, but is now going to be made manifest to his saints. What is this mystery? To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And what is it? Which is Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Christ in you. The one who is the seed of Abraham. Christ in you. He is the hope of glory. The hope of all that God is. The hope of all that you and I fell short of. For the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. It says we all have come short of the glory of God. Now that glory is going to be reinstated. That glory is the glory of a perfect world for you and for me. Now that's a big chunk. That's a big chunk to chew. But the thought about this big chunk, the perfect world for you and for me, because God's word tells us that we will experience heaven on earth. Amen? Maybe not the person down the street, but you in this super world in which the glory of God is manifested, you will be living that life. And the reason we're not is because we have not come into agreement with what the Word of God says. We're all growing. Every one of us, we're all growing. We are all in at different stages in our growth in God. And the deeper our growth is, the more we experience the fullness of God. Now, don't fool yourself. I have three men standing here. this man over here doesn't seem like he has much, but he is teaching people on how they can get into the march of God. This person over here is loaded beyond measure, but doesn't really know how he got it. This person over here doesn't have as much as this person, but he knows certain things. All three of them, in the sight of God, are at the same place. And you say, wait a minute, this one has lots, this one doesn't seem to have as much, and this guy over here, really, all he has is words. How can you say they were all the same? Well, because this one here has been placed in this position to give you step by step by step by step how you can get to the place that you need to get to. Or may I put it this way? You have a teacher. A teacher is very wealthy? No? But teachers teach those who become whatever. Yeah? Is that not true? It is not based on their job, but based on their calling. And so when you look at people, don't judge them based on what they have in their pocket, but based on whether they are fulfilling their call and their assignment. Because when all three stand before God, God may say of this one that is in the center, didn't have much, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But Lord, I didn't see anything. No, you brought everybody to their destiny. You brought them into their wholeness. So you and I need to be thankful for everybody. Because each one of us, when we are fulfilling our assignment, some people may be in the caboose, and some people may be in the front, some people may be in the middle, but they are all traveling together. Don't ever put anybody down or look at anybody and think they're not much. Your life is not showing nothing. No, no. And don't ever think, and this is important as I wrap up, don't ever think that because God gave somebody 5 talents and gave somebody 2 talents and gave somebody 1 talent, that the 1 talent that he gave to the one with one, that one was not important. The only difference is where your heart connection with the one who gave you what he gave to you and whether you're using what he gave to you. If you use your one, you will multiply it 100% and you will not lose it. If you use your 2, you will multiply it 100% and you will not lose it. If you use your 5, you will multiply it and not lose it, because the same Lord trained all of you. Don't feel badly about yourself. Just trust God, because he's the one who's carrying you from one place to the other. And his name will be exalted forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a privilege to share the word of God with you as we continue on this subject of the blessing. And we'll continue to talk about it. But the take home on all of it is that the blessing is on the seed. And you are that seed. You are that manifestation. So see yourself differently, that you are the chosen of God for a greater purpose. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the great privilege accorded us to embrace the truth of your word, to recognize, O God, that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you, Lord, O God, for the enlightenment that you've given to us to come to a place of understanding where we embrace righteousness, embrace your justification, embrace, O God, your favor, embrace, O God, the inheritance that you have for us. You have made us heirs of this world. And so, Father, we declare in Jesus' name, the earth belongs to me because it belongs to my Lord. Your word says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And Lord, we are joint heirs with you. Let there be a manifestation of the integrity of this eternal word. We say, speedify. We say, speedify. We say, speedify. Bring to our pass speedily that which you have declared over our lives, that we, O God, will be, by your grace, a manifestation of the truth that you have raised us up to experience. In Jesus' name, we declare it over those who are in this household of faith, to those that are listening to us on television, via streaming, and other platforms. Father, let your word be activated in every life, and may we, O God, walk in that fullness of life as we walk with a spirit of thanksgiving, day in, day out, testifying of your awesome love and eternal care for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let us honor God with our giving. This is something that God has commissioned us to do. He said, I will build my church. And that church is you and I. He's building us. But he's given us the responsibility to care for his house, the physical, natural house. And as we honor God in obedience, he's committed that he will multiply our seed sown. Sow for the future that you want. Sow for where you are going to. Greatest of all, when you sow, sow with this in mind, that you want God to multiply you and increase you. And having blessed you, make you a blessing. May he grant you a name in the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you on Friday for prayer meeting. Be reminded that next Sunday, Sunday morning is going to be our regular service, but Sunday evening, we start 3 days of special meetings, Rosh Hashanah meetings. It's the new year. Amen. And as usual, the Lord will speak prophetically into our lives. And you need to be in the house. If you are in Toronto, in Montreal, in Timbuktu, wherever, and you cannot be here physically, that's all right. But if you're right here in the city of Winnipeg, don't be sitting in your home, you know, and streaming. Come be right here. Celebrate right here. Amen. That's starting Sunday night at 6:30, Monday night 6:30, Tuesday night 6:30, and then Wednesday is going to be our first official Bible study. That will be at 7 o'clock, where we'll continue with what the Lord has been speaking to us. All right? How many of you remember what this month is? What is the declaration of God to us? Amen. break through. Amen? You're going to break through this month and on and on and on. You're going to walk in breakthrough anointing. You're going to manifest the promises of God over your life, and you are going to be fruitful. Amen? Praise the Lord. So expect all of those things to happen in your life. Your healing manifested. Your financial breakthrough manifested. All of it. Embrace what God's word says. Let this be the month that we manifest that powerful word in Romans 8. All creation is crying out, groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. May we be that manifestation. Amen? Praise God. Good night. Love you and celebrate you all in Jesus' name. Honor God with your giving.